All right, we're in Revelation 21, verses 13 through 17. I've entitled it Four Walls, 12 Gates, and 12 Foundations. Starting verse 13. On the east, three gates. On the north, three gates. On the south, three gates. And on the west, three gates. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them, the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. And the city lies four square, and the length is as large as the breadth, and he measured the city with his reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height are equal. That is a picture of the bride of the Lamb. The Lamb, the bride, the Lamb's wife. That's a picture of who we are if we are that bride. And Lord knows that that's what we're aspiring to be. As we saw in our last study, this city signifies you and me, the bride, the Lamb's wife. If indeed we are the first to be judged in this present time, and the first to die to our old man, then we will not be judged at the great white throne judgment after the 1,000 years, and we won't be hurt of the second death. If you die first, you don't have to worry about dying being in the second death. We saw that as the bride and the wife of the Lamb, we are secured by a wall great and high, which wall signifies the doctrines of Christ. Verse 12 had a wall great and high, and 12 gates, and at the 12 gates, 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Now, why would those who are the bride, the Lamb's wife, have upon their 12 gates the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel? The reason God's elect have the names of the 12 tribes is that they are the Israel of God. They are the 12 tribes. And they are part of the Commonwealth of Israel, the very foundation of God's government for the next 1,000 years and beyond. There's a link to the number 12 if you have any questions about it. Gives you a very thorough review of that word and how it's used in scripture. And it's always connected with foundations, foundations of nations. Jacob had 12 sons. Ishmael had 12 sons. Esau had 12 sons. It's basic to foundations. Ephesians 2, starting in verse 11, before remember that you being in time past, I have that emboldened there for a reason. Gentiles in the flesh who were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. But at that time, you were without Christ, being aliens from the Commonwealth of Israel, aliens from the 12 tribes of Israel. That's what Commonwealth of Israel refers to. And strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Well, we're not aliens from the Commonwealth of Israel anymore. We're God's Israel, God's elect, were in time past Gentile. What are they now? But now in Christ, Ephesians 2:13, now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made near by the blood of Christ. Just how near does the blood of Christ make those Ephesians Gentiles in time past, Gentiles in the flesh? Are they near enough to be called the Holy Jerusalem and the bride, the Lamb's wife? What do the scriptures teach? Ephesians 2, verses 14 through 16. For he is our peace, same chapter. He is our peace who has made both one. That's so clear if you've got eyes to see it. He's made both the Gentiles and Jews one and has broken down the partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. For to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. I've lived under two different churches that teach just the opposite of that. One church of God and the Concordant Publishing Concern. And for that matter, the Pentecostal church before that. They all believe that physical Jews are God's chosen people. Both physical Jews and physical Gentiles are now in Christ, both made one, Commonwealth of Israel. Because God is not saving mankind via a dual channel of physical chosen people along with a spiritual chosen people, which is what the whole world seems to believe. The whole religious Christian world seems to think that way. So that's why I'm kind of, intense about this, as I've been through so many. At the time, I didn't know any better, and I thought, well, if I just show them one more verse, they'll see it. No, they won't. They're blind. They're blind. The way God is reconciling both Jews and Gentiles to himself is in one body, by the cross, by making of twain one new man. He's not making twain of twain. He's making of twain one new man. What does that have to do with the Holy Jerusalem, the bride of the Lamb's wife, with a wall lying four square, great and high, and 12 gates with the names of the 12 apostles? Revelation 12:12, the wall, 21:12, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and the gates on the at the gates 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And skipping down to verse 16, the city lies four square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with a reed 12,000 furlongs. The length, the breadth, and the height are equal. Now, it's manifested by the fact that we're told that this city signifies a lamb's wife, that nothing being said here is literal or physical. It's all signified language, as is made crystal clear in the very first verse of this prophecy, Revelation 1:1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show unto his servants things which will shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it. He's speaking in signs and symbols by his angel unto his servant John. And he's doing that for a reason, and the reason is so the world won't understand, as he tells us clearly in Matthew 13. Spoken parables so that they would not understand, not so that they couldn't miss the point, so they wouldn't miss the point. Four walls each being 12,000 furlongs has everything to do with the fact that the bride, the Lamb's wife, signified by this city, whose wall is great and high, is the very foundation upon which all men will be brought to God. All men of all time. That great high wall is constructed of the rejected doctrines of our Lord and his word. It's Christ's doctrine which keep that which is defiled out of his body, which body is this holy Jerusalem. The doctrine that he is making of twain one man, that he might reconcile both Jews and Gentiles to God in one body, is only one of those doctrines which make up the great and high wall of that holy Jerusalem, who is the bride of the Lamb, the bride, the Lamb's wife. The whole Orthodox Christian world ridicules this doctrine, insisting instead that God has both a physical and a spiritual chosen people through whom he will reconcile a few of humanity and send the rest to hell to torment them for all eternity. On the other hand, God does not even consider physical descent as a factor in determining who is and who is not a Jew. This holy Jerusalem has no one in it who believes contrary to this truth. Won't be anyone in it who doesn't believe this. Romans 2, 28 and 29. He is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. God doesn't, he's not impressed with your pedigree, who your father is, physical father. He's not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. The bride, the Lamb's wife, is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, but she is a Jew of the commonwealth of Israel, which is one inwardly, of the heart and the spirit. That's the very reason we're told this in the same chapter. Revelation 21, verse 9 and 10. There came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues. That's you and me he's talking about right there. And talked with me, saying, come here, I will show you. The bride is going to show us the bride. Ezekiel is going to show the house to the house. I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain. Notice it says in the spirit. It doesn't say in the letter. To a great and high mountain. And he showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. This holy Jerusalem and its great high wall is made up only of those who are Jews inwardly, and whose circumcision is that of the heart and the spirit. Add to that doctrine the doctrine of loving your enemies, turning the other cheek, wives submitting themselves to their husbands as unto the Lord, husbands faithfully loving their wives as themselves, women not teaching in the church, following Christ's example of refusing to keep established traditions of his day. And the wall of that city of Jerusalem is indeed great and high, and the way is narrow. Isaiah 55, verse 8, to tell us what we're talking about here, verses 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. The world loves its traditions, loves them, looks forward to them. They are so joyful. They bring so much joy, and it's hard to come out of them. So we know what a great high spiritual wall does. It protects those who are within that wall from the false doctrine of many false prophets who are gone out into the world. 1 John 4:1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. How do you try the spirits if you don't know what the spirit is even? The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. John 6:44. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they're of God, because many false prophets with many false spirits, doctrines, are gone out into the world. What more does our Lord want us to know about this great high wall which protects the holy Jerusalem, the Lamb's wife? Verse 13, on the east, three gates, on the north, three gates, on the south, three gates, and on the west, three gates. Three, I think we all understand, need to get this in here, but it stands for the process of judgment. Got to get that link in there. Three is the process of judgment, and it is, we are the judges, just like we were during the 1,000 years. We rule with Christ 1,000 years and judge the world 1,000 years, and we will judge angels in the lake of fire. 1 Corinthians 6:2-3, I think it is. Don't you know the saints will judge the world? Don't you know they will also judge angels? We're going to be the judges of everything from the first resurrection all the way through to the end of the lake of fire. Remember that this holy Jerusalem is the bride, the Lamb's wife. There are three numbers which we are dealing with as we read the description of ourselves at this holy Jerusalem. As this holy Jerusalem. Those three numbers are 3, 4, and 12. We will be reminded of the spiritual significance of both the numbers 3 and 4, but the number 12 dominates our thoughts as we read and hear the description of this great city. Let's go back to verse 12 and demonstrate how many times the Holy Spirit repeats for our benefit the number 12 in this one verse. Revelation 21, 12, the Lamb's wife had a wall great and high and had 12 gates, and at the gates, 12 angels. and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. The four sets of three gates on each of the four walls of this city, the Lamb's wife, us, are the 12 gates mentioned here in verse 12. So, regardless of how you approach the city, doesn't matter which direction you come from, doesn't matter who you are, where you are, there will be three gates, judgment, through which all who come into her must pass. As we have demonstrated, the spiritual significance of this number three is the process of judgment, which is working with all of mankind, which our Lord is working with all of mankind. 1 Timothy 2:4, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Job 23:13, for those who say that it actually means he would desire, but your free will is going to keep him from doing it. Well, no. He is in one mind, and who can turn him? What his soul desires, even that he does. He doesn't consult you to see if your free will is going to go along with it. Isaiah 26:8. Yea, in the way of your judgment, so Lord, have we waited for you. The desire of our soul is to your name and to the remembrance of you. With my soul I have desired you in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek you early. For when your judgments are in the earth, listen closely, when your judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. You cannot make it any clearer. If you have eyes to see and ears to hear, those being judged now are being righteousness in this present time. Those who will be judged at the great white throne judgment will learn righteousness at that time. For when your judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Harvests in Scripture signify judgment. That's why we're told that the false doctrines of Babylon are not removed from our lives until judgment begins at the house of God, which temple we are. 1 Corinthians 3:16-17, know you not that you're the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. 1 Peter 4:17, the time is come, here and now, right this moment, that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first began, first being judged at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? It's the judgment which is now on the house of God to which Christ is referred when giving us the parable of the wheat and the tares growing together until the harvest, until we begin to be judged. Matthew 13:30, let both the wheat, signifying the truth, those that know the truth, and the tares, signifying the lies of Babylon, grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them. Get those lies out of my people and burn them up. Let them suffer the loss of those tares. But gather the wheat, those who know Christ, who is the truth, into my barn. Well, we are being gathered into his barn, Lord willing. This process of the judgments of God is demonstrated by three judgment harvest seasons of ancient Israel. The first season is Passover, immediately followed by the days of unleavened bread. The second season is Pentecost, called the Feast of First Fruits. And the third season is Tabernacles, immediately followed by the last great day, the short season of rebellion and the lake of fire and great white throne judgment, second death. These three harvests complete the ingathering of all people to our Lord. Egypt was in thick darkness for 3 days as Egypt was being judged. It was 3 days. Jonah was in the belly of the great fish 3 days and three nights as he was being judged for his disobedience. Saul of Tarsus was blind for 3 days while he was being judged for persecuting the disciples of Jesus. Of course, we continue being judged, but the number three always reminds us of the process of being judged. This revelation of Jesus Christ comes to us in the three stages of our judgment, which are called seven seals, seven trumpets, and seven last plagues of the wrath of God. The fact that the city is four square reveals to us that this city will, in time, compass the whole of God's elect. Four is the number that speaks of the four quarters of the earth, the four winds of heaven, the four beasts around the throne of God. In each case, it speaks of the whole of each. Got the link there for the study. The number which is stamped upon every part of the city, which is mentioned the most in relationship to the Holy Jerusalem as the wife of the Lamb, is the number 12. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and then the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Now let's place verse 12 beside this 14th verse and see just how prominent this number 12 is as it relates to the Lamb's wife. Verse 12 had a great and high, had a wall great and high, and 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and then names written there on which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. So now, besides the 12 gates and the 12 angels and the 12 tribes of the children of Israel, here in this 14th verse, we're told that this Holy Jerusalem, the wife of the Lamb, you and me, have 12 foundations named after the 12 tribes of Israel. This is just the beginning of the application of this number 12 to us in the city. There's a reason for this. There's a real significant reason. Revelation 21, verse 15, he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. You and I, the Lamb's wife, are measured with a golden reed. The Holy Jerusalem, as the wife of the Lamb, must measure up to the exact measurements required of her. Here's the same statement as is presented to us in the Old Testament. Here's how careful God is in the construction of this city where he dwells. He told Ezekiel, he said, if they repent, show them the form of the house, the plans for the house. If they repent, Lord willing, we have repented and we are being shown the form of this house. And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. Exodus 25, starting in verse 8, verse 9, according to all that I showed you, after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of the instruments thereof, even so shall you make it. And you shall make seven lamps thereof, and they shall light the lamps thereof, that they may give light over against it. And the tongs thereof, and the sub-snuff dishes thereof, shall be of pure gold. Of a talent of pure gold shall you make it, with all these vessels. And look that you make them after their pattern, which was shown you in the mount. Christ is the pattern shown us in the mount. The pattern which is shown you in the mount signifies our pattern, which is Christ. He is our city, our wall, our going out, our coming in. He's the pattern shown us in the mount. He's both the golden reed and the golden and the pattern by which we are all measured. Here's how Christ explains all this to Ezekiel. Ezekiel 43, starting in verse 10. Son of man, show the house to the house of Israel, that they may be ashamed of their iniquities. And let them measure the pattern. And if they be ashamed of all that they have done, in other words, if they repent in sackcloth and ashes, show them the form of the house. And that's what we're doing here, right now, showing you the form of the house and the fashion thereof, and the goings out thereof, and the comings in thereof, and all the forms thereof, and all the ordinances thereof, and all the forms thereof, and all the laws thereof. And write it in their sight that they may keep the whole form thereof and all the ordinances thereof and do them. Read here and keep the prophecies of this book. Do the things that I say. This is the law of the house upon the top of the mountain, and the whole limit thereof, round about, shall be most holy. Behold, this is the law of the house. This is the bride, the Lamb's wife. If they be ashamed of all they've done, means they will not be shown. If they be not ashamed of all they've done, means they will not be shown the form of the house. If they're not ashamed of all they've done, those who are seeking to make the word of God conform to the way they want to live will not be given to see the forms thereof and the laws thereof. Here's how Ezekiel is made to express this. Ezekiel 43, verse 8, in their settings of their threshold by my thresholds and their posts by my posts, and the wall, great and high, between me and them, they have even defiled my holy name by their abominations that they've committed. Well, we know that Christmas and Easter are pagan. We know that Halloween is the worship of devils. But we've Christianized them. Now, that's what Pat Robertson, the founder of TBN, said. Not TBN, Christian Broadcasting Network, CBN. Wherefore, I have consumed them in my anger. Their thresholds and their posts are not God's thresholds and posts. And it is this enmity which forms the wall great and high between the world and the Lord's wife, the Lamb's wife, the Holy Jerusalem. Verse 12 again, he had a wall great and high and 12 gates. He doesn't say that for nothing. There's a reason it says it. And the reason is that there's a difference, a big difference, a wall great and high that divides God's people from the people of Babylon. And the gates, 12 angels and names written there, in which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. We're told the city is four square, and again, we're given the number 12 and its multiples as the dimensions of the Lamb's wife. We will discuss the spiritual meaning of the word four square, but first let's discuss why it is that the number 12 multiples and multiples of 12 are stamped all over the Lamb's wife. 21, 16, and 17. The city lies four square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed. 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof, 140 and 4 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. That the angel showing this all to John is a man, who is the symbol of John's brothers in Christ, and is John's fellow servant, who is keeping the sayings of this prophecy of this book, is made clear by the same angel telling us the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. Since all four sides of this city are referred to as a single wall, we will do well to understand the measurements and the length and the breadth in the singular, same singular way. In other words, the 12,000 furlongs is the measure of each of the four walls around the city. Since a furlong is 1/8 of a mile and the city lies 12,000 furlongs, four square, this gives us a city which is approximately 1,500 miles on each of its four sides, or 6,000 miles going around the city. That's actually a little high because the word is actually stadium. Maybe I'll get to that later here. The fact that we're told that the length and the breadth and the height of it are equal, while at the same time telling us the walls are 144 cubits, tells us that the size of the city is not the point, because this is not a city at all. It's rather the bride, the Lamb's wife. And the wall simply signifies that nothing unclean will enter this city, the bride, the Lamb's wife. The Greek word translated furlong is G4712, stadion, or stadia. Now, here's a cut and paste from this link here I have there, if you want to check it out. I typed, what's the difference between a stadia and a furlong? And this is what I learned. A stadia and a furlong are both units of measurements for distance, but they belong to two different systems and have different lengths. Here's the definition of a stadia. A stadia is an ancient Greek unit of length. And of course, the New Testament is written in Greek. It's not written in English. It's often used in reference to distances measured in the context of stadiums and race courses. The length of the stadia can vary historically, but it's commonly accepted as approximately 600 feet, or about 182.88 meters. A furlong is a unit of length in the imperial and U.S. customary systems, primarily used in horse racing and agriculture. A furlong is defined as an eighth of a mile and is equivalent to 660 feet. So it's 60 feet longer than a stadium, or about 201.7 meters. A furlong is 60 feet, almost 20 meters longer than a stadium, but using either measurement gives us a city that's almost as wide and long and high as the distance from Maine to Florida. Remember, this angel carried John away in the spirit. And in the spirit, words have spiritual meaning, which is not at all the same as their primary natural outward meaning. The lion and the lamb of these verses are very good examples of this spiritual fact, truth. Revelation 5, starting in verse 1, I saw the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written, within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who's worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth. This is the book that is sealed with seven seals, the book of Revelation, that we have to read here and keep if we want to enter into the temple in heaven. No man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. One of the elders said unto me, weep not, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. And I looked, and lo, I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven heads, seven horns, and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. 12,000 stadia is approximately 1,380 miles, 2,220.89 kilometers. That's almost exactly the same distance from Maine to Florida, which is 1,368 miles driving a car. Almost exactly the same. It should be obvious that 12,000 stadia signifies a foundation which will support the salvation of all men of all time from Adam to the great white throne judgment. That's what we're being told. That's who we are. The next thing we are told is, verse 17, he measured the wall thereof, 144 cubits, according to the measure of man, that is, of the angel. Now, the shortest cubit to be considered is 18 inches. 144 cubits amounts to 216 feet high. It's the height of the wall of this city, which symbolizes the Lamb's wife. But it's not given to us in feet. It's mentioned only, I mention this only to demonstrate the absurdity of making any, of taking any of this literally. To say that the city is 1,380 miles, 220.89 kilometers, or square, and the breadth of it, the width of it, and the height of it are equal. And then in the very next verse, tell us he measured the wall thereof and 144 cubits, according to the measure of man, that is, of the angel. The length and breadth and height are equal, being 380 miles, 220.89 kilometers, 220.89 kilometers each. Yet the wall of the city is a mere 144 cubits, or 216 feet, 65.84 meters high. It's somewhat like telling us that the lion and the lamb are one and the same. It's obvious to anyone who accepts and remembers that this entire prophecy is signified that they will know from the sum of God's word that a lion and a lamb both signify the Lord. In like manner, the numbers 12,144 signify foundations. And we are that foundation. The measurements of the city, the bride, the lamb's wife, and the measurements of the wall may seem to be absurd, or even for some to be contradictory. Nevertheless, this situation is no different than telling us the lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed to open the seals. And then when we look to see who's opening the seals, we see a lamb that has been slain. Well, which is it? Are the seals opened by a lion or a lamb? There it is again. I wept much because no man was able to open the book. And one of the elders said, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the Lord David, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, in the midst of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders. The throne, the four beasts, the elders are in the midst of you and me. Stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. Is it a lion or a lamb? It's both, because both symbolize our Lord. The form used to symbolize our Lord is not even the point. So let's not ask, is the city 144 cubits, or is it 12,000 furlongs? It's both. The wall is 144 cubits, great and high, and the city is as high as it is long and broad, 12,000 furlongs, stadia. We'll pause here for now. And we continue our study. We'll consider more closely the spiritual significance of the number 12, because there's a lot more to it, and why each gate of the 12 gates of this city is of one pearl. Very interesting. The building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper. Look at that. The wall of the city is jasper. The first foundation is jasper. The second, sapphire. The third, a chalcedony. The fourth, an emerald. The fifth, sardonyx. The sixth, sardius. The seventh, chrysolite. The eighth, beryl. The ninth, topaz. The tenth, chrysoprasus. The 11th, jacinth. The 12th, amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth to bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall be in no wise, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defiles, neither whatsoever works an abomination, or makes a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. That's all that gets into this city. Okay, that's our study for tonight. That's the bride, the Lamb's wife. That's you and me, Lord willing. And all of those in Christ, from Christ till the first resurrection. That's what this great city is.